This is John Walden.
We're studying in the second epistle of Peter now, beginning with chapter 1 and verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Now Peter gives his full name here, Simon Peter. The Lord Jesus gave him this new name because he was going to make a rock out of him, a stone in the temple. He tells us in the second chapter of the first epistle that the Lord Jesus is the chief foundation stone, the precious stone, and that all of us are living stones in that building. Peter here calls himself the servant or the slave and an apostle of Jesus Christ. The Lord has liberated us by His grace, by His redemption, but He gives us the privilege of choosing to be His love slaves. Now, He doesn't take any other title, but He does call Himself a slave of the Lord Jesus. The word apostle simply means a sent one, a witness. There are no apostles since the days of the early days of the church, because an apostle had to be one who had seen the Lord Jesus literally after His resurrection. Notice that He addresses this to all true believers, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us. Peter's epistles are full of precious things. Here's one of them. There's another one a little farther down in this chapter. A precious faith. The Lord says we have obtained this. Romans tells us, Romans chapter 10, verse 17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, if you don't have faith, don't bemoan it. Just start reading the word of God, and you'll find that faith comes. This is a righteous salvation, because He says it is through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Not our helper, our Savior. The Lord Jesus came to seek and to save that which was right, that which was lost. Now notice that this is a righteous salvation. God never overlooks sin. He never says, well, I'm real kind, so I'm just going to forget this. Instead, He put all of the load of our guilt on the Lord Jesus, and He righteously answered to God for it, so that God is able to righteously forgive us for the sake of the Lord Jesus. And grace and peace is to be multiplied to us. Now we receive grace before we receive peace. It's the grace of God that saves us and brings us into the peace of God. This can be multiplied through the knowledge of God and the Lord Jesus. The more you know of God and His ways, the more you know of the Lord Jesus, the more you will enjoy His grace and peace. The less of a legalist you will be, doing what you do out of fear, doing it because you think that you might possibly be lost again. You don't know the grace and peace of God if you talk like that. It could be multiplied to you if you would get to know the Lord just a little better. Now He tells us in verses 3 and 4 that God has still more for us. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. God wants us to have everything that He has for us. And He tells us that this is given to us in the form of great and precious promises. Verse 4 says that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. I believe what He's saying here is that the great and precious promises are those connected with our Lord's coming and work, His first coming to this world. Peter has told us before, and he mentions in the last of this, that the prophecy that was given to us told us when the Lord Jesus was going to come and how He would come and what He would do. And it's because of these exceeding great and precious promises that we are now partakers of the divine nature. Not because of ordinances, and not because of the church, and not because of what you have done. These do not make you divine. You are made divine when you are born of God, born again. When you receive the life of God in your being. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. kind of life, God's nature placed within you. His Holy Spirit comes to indwell and seal and live in and guide every true believer. And as a result of this, he tells us we have escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. That's all the world has. It's corrupt. It's filthy. If it were not for the salt of the Christian's presence here in this world, the whole thing would go to corruption. And God's going to take his people out one of these days, and then you'll see how corrupt the whole wicked thing really is. But now he wants us to add to what we have. Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Be sure you have faith. Be sure you trust with the Lord Jesus. Don't start in to try to obey him until you're sure that you have become his child. And having received Christ as your Savior, then you can have with your faith certain other things. The first one is virtue. This comes from the old Latin word virtus, which means courage. And the first thing you need as a Christian is courage to stand for the Lord. Young people, don't be afraid to be laughed at. Tell people you belong to the Lord. Speak up for him at school and wherever you are. Let's have courage, the courage of our convictions. And then to courage, add knowledge. You need to grow. You need to study. You ought to have a definite time every day when you get into the Word of God. Don't be satisfied to be like a big baby bird and be fed when you go to church. Get into the book and get to know God's ways and his Word. And then add to this temperance, which is self-control. And to self-control, add patience. That is persistence, stick-to-itiveness. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. This is just another word for brotherly love. It's the same word translated Philadelphia. This brotherly love, or love for our brothers, and to brotherly love, love. Well, that's the word for charity. And this love is wide enough to take in all. Now, this is real spiritual progress. This, of course, is actually the work of the Spirit within us, producing all of these things, because he says that these things be in you and abound. The abounding of these things within us will result in two things. Negatively, you will not be barren or idle, nor unfruitful. You will not be a useless Christian in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't be satisfied to say you know the Lord. Your life ought to be such that will show that you know the Lord. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. The word for blindness here is myopia, nearsightedness. How nearsighted some Christians are. They can't see any farther than the end of their noses. They're only interested in today. They're only interested in things. They're only interested in this life. God wants you to remember that you've been purged from your old sin. Don't go back into that life. Lift up your eyes to him who is there on the throne. Now, the other choice, brethren, and he is addressing brethren here, real saved people, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. This is the same thing Paul wrote about to the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 1:4, knowing, brethren, to love your election of God. How did Paul know their election of God? Why, Paul knew it because he saw it in their lives. Read the first chapter of 1 Thessalonians, and you'll see this is why. This is the only way that anyone can know that another person is called and elected of God. And if you want to prove to others that you belong to the Lord, this is how you do it. And he said, if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly. What does this mean? Someone has described it as a ship coming into port under full sail. Not with a mast broken, just barely limping in, just barely making it, but coming in full sail. How are you going to enter into the everlasting kingdom? Are you going to go in there just by the skin of your teeth? This is what he says in 1 Corinthians 3. Some will be saved, yet so as by fire. He says, if your works are burned up, you yourself will be saved, yet so as by fire. What an awfully poor way to go home to be with the Lord. Now notice that this is an entrance into the everlasting kingdom. The kingdom is the place where the rewards are given. This is the place where the Lord gives us crowns and where he gives us authority over cities. And if you want to have the rewards in the coming day, this is God's way for you to get it. So he adds now, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. The Apostle Peter never gave any new revelations. The Apostle Paul was called to this particular job. He was the one who gave us the truths concerning the church, and Peter's place was that of a shepherd, and he was just to stir up and put in remembrance the Lord's people so that they would not forget what God had done for them. And he said, I want to do this as long as I am in this tabernacle. This means the body. In 2 Corinthians 5, Paul speaks of this tabernacle is going to be taken down or dissolved, and we're going to have a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. What's going to happen when you put off your tabernacle? And it could be sooner than you think. It doesn't have to get old and worn out. It can be damaged so badly that you'll have to give it up. What's going to happen when you put off your tabernacle? Well, Peter knew that he was going to die because the Lord had told him so, he says in verse 14. But he had no sorrow, no fear. He was looking forward to that time to be taken home to be with the Lord. Our Father, we thank thee that we too may have this wonderful prospect through faith in the Lord Jesus. And we pray that we may not simply be saved, but that we may be the kind of Christians that will attract others to our Savior. Bless thy word to us now, we pray, in his name. Amen.